ARD.
Die JustizreporterInnen. Der Podcast rund ums Recht in der ARD-Audiothek und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt. Wir sind dabei, damit ihr auf dem Stand bleibt.
Hi, you are listening to the podcast JustizreporterInnen. My name is Philipp Rayon. I'm a legal journalist and working for the legal editorial office of the first German public broadcast service ARD. Today we deal with the torture committed by the Syrian state and how these crimes could be prosecuted in future. If you are listening more often to our podcast, this is a special episode because it's the first episode we publish in German and in English because we assume this topic is internationally relevant. This is a shorter English version for those who don't understand German. If you speak or understand German, I would like to recommend the extended German version to you. It's published the same day as this English one. So, let's start with our topic now. You have probably recognized it as it has been on the news frequently since mid of December last year. The former Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, has fallen. He was chased away by the rebels group HTS. This was mid of December. With the victory of the HTS in Syria, a decade ended where 10,000s of people were imprisoned, tortured and killed by the former regime. First, I talk with my colleague Ute Brucker now. Hi Ute.
Hi.
Ute, you are the head of our foreign affairs office and you have just returned from Syria where you conducted research. You created a highly recommended television show about your experiences and what people live there in Syria since Bashar al-Assad has fallen. The television show is in German, but we will include the link in the description of this podcast episode just to make sure that if you understand some German, you can watch it there. Ute, as you have just returned from Syria, maybe first, what does it look like there in Syria right now? Can you give us an impression, please?
Yes, Philipp. I was deeply impressed by the massive devastation that we saw in many areas of the country. Damascus, with its beautiful historic city center, is still intact and is lively, and a lot of people are going there to do sightseeing and visit the important points of the city again. But neighboring cities like Jobar or Zabadani or Al Ghouta, where we have been, are completely in ruins. Mm-hmm. They have been destroyed years ago, and you don't even see reconstruction so far.
Nothing
because
happened.
Because now, in many parts, nothing happened, and the ruins are just there. Okay. So it's very difficult to imagine how this can be rebuilt in a couple of years. I think it will take a long time.
And it will cost a lot of money,
sure.
For sure. So there are the ruins, but how important is it for the people right now to rebuild this? What do you think? Or is their focus on maybe just to go on with their daily life and organize themselves first? What is their main focus right now?
I think security and stability is most important for people in Syria. Reconstruction is needed, but it will take time. But it's really needed because you have hundreds of thousands of Syrians who are still living in tents, mm-hmm. in refugee camps, especially in the Idlib province in the north, where they, you know, the only place where they could go. And we met some families and women who live there since 5 years in tents.
Okay.
And it's a cold area. I mean, they are below zero. In winter time,
so it's freezing,
very cold.
Yeah.
It's freezing. Yeah, it's really cold. And they're sitting there with just nothing. And they don't, you know, they need a future. And their biggest dream is to have a house again, to have walls around them.
Mm. I see. So it's really for the very basic things which are in the first row now to reach and to get to. So if we look on the last decade, around 200,000 people were killed by the former regime. They were tortured, they were killed in the prisons, for example. What would you say, how present is this among the people still? And is it their focus to work on this or is it more to get on with the future now?
I think it's very present in a vast majority of Syrian families. Everyone we met in those 10 days has a family member that either has been killed by the war itself, or detained, or killed in prison, or left the country as a refugee. Mm. Even the minorities who felt kind of protection by the regime lived in an atmosphere of fear and also of economic crisis. Even middle-class Syrians struggled a lot in the past years to get along. So in a way or another, almost everyone suffered from this regime. And I think it's not a secondary question for Syrians. Okay. For sure, they struggle with their daily life and they want stability and security. But then next comes the question of justice.
Okay.
Because people have suffered in an unimaginable way from this regime and they want justice. They want the criminals to be judged and to be tried so that they can at least get kind of relief feeling.
Mm. Thanks a lot, Ute. This was Ute Brucker, the head of our Foreign Affairs Editorial Office. So during my researches, I also met Mr. Anwar Albuni in Berlin. He is a Syrian lawyer for human rights and he has been imprisoned as a political detainee from 2006 until 2011. I met him mid of January and talked first about his feelings about the ending of the Assad regime. So, Mr. Albuni, what does it make you feel? How do you feel?
I am happy for sure. I happy for those who liberated, and I am sad for 10,000 who couldn't. You know, they liberated the last people who stay before they killed them. But we have documents in Sednaya have 60,000 of prisoners go through Sednaya. 60,000. And maybe still at last about 1,000, but others, all of them, may killed under torture or execution by the court, by field military court.
Did this liberation come surprising for you? Was it a surprise or did you expect it?
I saw this moment from a long time. I wasn't surprised. It's coming. Everybody from around me, they laughing on me. Oh, you are so optimistic. It's not coming. I saw it coming. Maybe I surprised how much it came fast. And really, I surprised with good behavior of the rebels when they go through from Aleppo to Damascus.
The good behavior?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
do you
because,
mean?
Because we don't find any violence happened when they go through all these cities. There is no civilian killed or hurt. So it was a surprise to us when they deal with the people from other religion or from other ethnic. So it was good surprise, in fact.
Hmm. About which crimes do you know happened in Sednaya and other prisons during Assad's regime?
Every day, between 30 and 50 detainees die in this detention place. Every day since 2011-12, you can't account how much people killed. So we suppose about 200,000 killed in this detention and prison, in Sednaya prison.
And who have been the people imprisoned there that were not criminals? They were...
Yeah, just some of them arrested them from the street because they are from this area or they have a family name, this family name, opposition family name. They arrested them as hostage, sometimes children for their parents, for their father, woman for her husband. Some of them, they didn't do anything. Some of them peaceful behavior because the regime give amnesty to any people who carry weapon. They give them amnesty while the peaceful people haven't any amnesty.
You mentioned already the victims of torture, of massacres and what else happened during the last decades or years. How important is the prosecution of Assad and his followers for the Syrian people now?
It will be persecuted, Assad and Azar. You know, we follow Assad regime and Assad as person and his high-ranking officer. We persecute them here in Germany from 2017. And there is a restaurant shooted against part of them. Maybe Assad Bashar, he is one of the people who shooted. Also in France, there is international restaurant shooted from court in French. So there is process going on, and I believe the first nail in the coffin of this regime, it was here in Germany when we submitted the first case in 2017, and after that in Koblenz in the 2020, when start the trial against Anwar Aslan with crime against humanity.
But if we talk about the people in Syria, are they willed to prosecute those followers of Assad and Assad himself, or do they want to finish this capture?
No, nobody. Everybody in Syria, no. There is no peace without justice. Everybody in Syria, and I think now in the whole world, saw in the TV how much terrible crimes committed in Syria. Those people who committed these crimes, who give the orders, who was enjoy when they committed this crime, they cannot be part of our society. Never, not with recirculation or other way.
How does the law enforcement, like the prosecution, and the new state and legal system fit together? Like, are they depending on each other, or could the new constitution be implemented or exist without a prosecution of Assad and his followers?
I think the prosecution, the crimes committed in this decade, must to be independent on the justice authorities or litigation authorities in normal. So this must to be independent, because maybe it will be prosecute other, not just Assad regime, other criminals like rebels, like Kurdish group, like any other groups, who ISIS also. So they must to be independent about any authorities, and we believe it must to be mixed between Syrians and international judge to be real independent and nothing affect about it.
And then those proceedings should take place where? In Syria?
In Syria, yeah.
Not in Den Haag?
No.
Why not?
You know, in Den Haag, they can prosecute 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 people. We are counting 16,000 criminals who top. They committed crimes with motion, which mentions that. So what ICC will do with that? And ICC so far about the crime scene in Syria. The judge must to see the crime scene, and the victims cannot go to Den Haag to give their testimony. They can't give it in Syria. So it's so important, and to Syrians see what happened. You know, in Den Haag, we saw many of. It's not a fact really about the situation. Maybe you can catch criminal and put him in jail, but it's not a fact. While when it will be in Syria, it will be a fact directly about society.
What do you think, how likely is all this to happen? How realistic is it?
It's realistic. I think it will be. You know, I believe Syria will be simple. I don't think any transitional justice experience was good enough. I believe Syria will be apply a lesson for how transitional justice will be achieved as it will be.
Salbouni, now I would like to talk with you about your idea for the next legal steps in Syria. Maybe could you first explain me what you think the Syrian legal constitutional system should look like in the next years?
It's maybe earlier now to speak about constitution in Syria. Instead, we made the draft of constitution for Syria 3 months ago. We finished draft for new constitution after 3 years discussion with Syrians from everywhere. But now it's not the time we speak about constitution in Syria. We must to speak about, or must to be, a temporary declaration of constitution who rule the transitional period, because now transitional period don't depend about any legal background or legal base. So the old constitution, it's bullshit, it cannot be able to apply. And for that must to be a temporary declaration constitution to rule of the transition period. And now, after we propose and speak about that, now the authorities in Syria start speak about they want to make temporary declaration of constitution. So it's good step.
But your plan, does it include like a proper rule of law and a proper split of powers and a proper constitutional court? Can you maybe shortly describe what your draft looks like?
Temporary declaration constitution who must to be depend about government who represent whole Syrians, and also General Assembly who must to be from expert who start to be to wrote the new constitution and discuss with the people about the new constitution. Besides, there will be position of the parliament who control about the government. Besides that, must to be created transitional justice form or body. This transitional justice body will take over, create court, tribunal court, specific tribunal court, and it will be take over to have committees to rebuild the trust to peace for society. And it will work about memorial of the victims of the massacre, of the prison, museum or status, or it's will be the mission of the transitional justice form.
So if we look closer on possible criminal proceedings, there are different options. I would like to explain to you the main three options. Firstly, there could be proceedings in Syria itself. How the chances are for this to work out can hardly be assessed at the moment. I talked about this with Mr. Abouni too, and you will listen to this part of my interview later. But for now, I would like to look at the International Criminal Court. It might be an obvious opportunity, but the former Syrian regime didn't sign the Rome Statute of the ICC, the International Criminal Court, which is a mandatory requirement for the court to prosecute and hear committed crimes in a certain state. The new rulers could still sign it and accept the ICC also for the past, but it's not known whether they will do so and if they want to do so when this would happen. Another opportunity could be tribunals set up by the international community, the United Nations or other groups of states, like, for example, the European Union. There are examples in history where this happened, like the Special Tribunal Court for Committed Crimes in Sierra Leone or the Specialist Kosovo Chambers. These possibilities require cooperation between the new Syrian rulers on the one hand and other states or state organizations on the other hand. The third opportunity could be proceedings outside of Syria, like in Germany, for example. Such criminal proceedings and also sentences have already taken place. At first, there was the Oberlandesgericht Koblenz, the highest regional court in the specific region in Germany, 3 years ago. Following the universal law principle, German prosecutors can prosecute crimes committed against humanity in Germany, even if the crimes committed in another state, like Syria in this example. The Oberlandesgericht Koblenz was the first court worldwide that sentenced two accused persons because of actions in connection with Syrian state torture. The findings of this court could be used for future proceedings now, at least if they take place here in Germany. As the general torture and death system has been proven by a German court, another German court could implement this knowledge and could focus on proving the individual contributions to the crime in each case. It makes it a lot easier for the next criminal proceedings whenever they will take place. We will soon see whether the German federal prosecutor will arrest and prosecute more people for crimes committed within the Syrian torture system. As the office has been already investigating for years now, this is likely to happen. All criminal court proceedings require evidence, and there are a lot of new evidence since the Bashar al-Assad regime has fallen mid of December. The organization of the Syrian lawyer Anwar al-Bouni is preserving those documents in Syria now. That is one topic I have talked with Mr. al-Bouni about when I met him mid of January, so please listen to the second part of our interview.
Talking about the preservation of evidences, what have you found so far? What kind of documents are there?
There is tens of millions of documents, you know. There is our team now working in the Minister of Justice, and they bring all the document they had. You know, as my colleagues speak, there is 150,000 of files now. 150,000 files. Mm. Now they must to scan now. They start until now, 2 weeks, they finished 120. So it's need huge, huge work.
And why do the new rulers need your support doing this?
Because we, the one organization who worked in this field for a long time, you know, just us who working and worked in this field here in Europe, when we prepare file, when we have testimonies, when we, just us who specific on this field. Oh, there is many organizations, Syrian organizations, they work with documenting the events, what happened, the killing people, detention people, make advocacy with the international community, with the international organization. But there is no like us working in this accountability and documents and testimonies and like that. And we have a reputation with all Syrians. Everybody know us. Go for word for all Syrians. Everybody in Syria know without justice, no peace. So justice is the first priority issue, element to start rebuild Syria. Everybody knows that. They take it so seriously, but they don't know how until now. We try to help to find way to...
What are the chances of criminal proceedings will take place there? How would you rate them, rank them?
They arrested somebody, they keep hold them now. But I think it's need to building specific court, tribunal court, specific for this issue. Because the Syrian judicial system, it's bad. It's corruption. And the judge not able to judge because they be judged by loyalty, not by experience or because they good. So hold the system of litigation in Syria, it's bad, very bad. Cannot handle normal crime or normal cases. So how he can deal with like this? So we need tribunal court specific, and we need it's independent because it's not about just regime. There is many parties committed crimes and there is victims and they have right to have justice. So we need it independent, and for that we need also to be the court mix between the Syrian and international judge to be sure it will be straight and it will be following the international standard of trial, fair trial. I don't trust with myself as judge, as Syrians, to be not my emotion affect me when I be look any cases. So we need international judge to keep us straight. It's need about rebuild the trust between the Syrians. There is family sometimes, brother in this side, brother in this side, father in this side, or sister. So we need to rebuild the trust between the Syrians again through society movement. And we need to rebuild, building the memorial, memory of narrative what happened in Syria really, and memorial of the events, the massacre, the prison, the detention place, the mass grave. And that's a transition justice form or body must to take all of this issue.
And if we don't talk only about the proceedings which might take place in Syria itself, we had this sentences in Koblenz, for example. Do you think other states out of Syria could have more proceedings?
Yeah, I think there will be more cases outside Syria. Because until now, I don't see it will be coming soon to following all the crimes happened in Syria. So the criminals are in Europe and there is evidence against them, I prefer to prosecute them here. But if the criminal is here and the witnesses and the evidence in Syria, we can start in Syria and ask to deliver him to the court in Syria. Mm. So it's depend about every case.
So what are the next steps now?
We said there is many cases here in Europe. Until now we're working on, there is people will arrest soon in Germany and in Sweden. There is cases will open soon. They arrested them last year and they will open soon. We have now, after the regime fall, a lot of witnesses be brave before they afraid from their parents was in Syria. Now they have brave and they have space to give their testimony. And so I received many calls and message from witnesses ready to give their testimony. Unfortunately, I am alone here now, all my team in Syria. So we will arrange that after they back.
You are collecting the evidences now, you are digitalizing it. Assad and his family flew to Russia. They are safe there for the moment. But there are hundreds and thousands of criminals or followers of Assad who are somewhere now, probably in Syria or in the countries surrounding. What do you think? Who will catch them? And is that the biggest task maybe now?
We will catch them for sure, including Bashar al-Assad himself. He will face the justice. I am sure about that. They're hiding now, yes. And maybe some of them run away outside Syria. Maybe some of them hide inside Syria. We thought there is some of them will arrive to Europe with fake name, not real passport. We follow that, but they will not find a safe place to them.
But who is we?
We Syrians, the justice of Syria. We as Syrians, and me, when our center, I speak, our team, I believe with our work, as I told you, I not wish, my wishes is goal. And I am pretty sure those criminals will face justice. Until if, with our effort, we will do that.
Thank you a lot, Mr. Almouni.
This was the second part of the interview I had with Mr. Anwar Albouni in Berlin mid of January. Just to repeat those mass of crimes we are talking about, Albouni expects 200,000 people killed through torture or execution by possibly 16,000 criminals in Syria in the last decade. And his organization, Mr. Albouni's organization, is asked to preserve 150,000 files now, not single documents, files. It's a lot of work to do, and this might require a lot of time. Time the Syrian people have to wait, and I guess they will need a lot of patience. This was our podcast episode about Syrian state torture and how committed crimes could be prosecuted in the future. Please feel free to give us some feedback. You can write us an email. The address is justizreporterinnen@swr.de. I pronounce it slowly, justizreporterinnen@swr.de. Please share this episode in your English-speaking community and please also give us a feedback whether you appreciated this English version. My name is Philipp Rayon. Thanks for listening and goodbye.